2 Samuel in the 6th chapter. Amen. We'll be starting in the 3rd verse. I appreciate how God helped us this week, and He's brought us through some things and just helped us and helped me through the week. Give me a good week. Seemed like we ain't had work in quite a while, and now we got it running out of ears. I can't hardly keep up with it, and I appreciate God for moving and supplying for my family. Amen, and I appreciate Him. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and in the 3rd verse, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord, and on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And they came to Nacon, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. You can turn to the book of St. Mark, 5th chapter and the 25th verse. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and nothing was bettered, but rather grew worse, she had heard of Jesus. Came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Let's pray. Jesus, help me, O God. I appreciate you. I need your help. Preach, O God. O God, help me. Your will. With passion, with boldness, God. Most of all, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, give me a clear mind. Help me preach just what you want me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Rick called me last Wednesday night, and he gave me about an hour's notice. And I told him, I said, "Look now, I ain't like you and Jonathan. I ain't got a whole lot of bullets in my gun." I said, "The one I had, I shot on Sunday night up here in South Carolina." And I've been praying ever since then. But the Lord kind of gave me a little thought. We was in church up there Sunday night. And my Uncle Dennis, he was testifying. And something he said pricked my heart. And the Lord used it and just dealt with me on it. And if you look at both portions of Scripture that I read, there's something, an action in both of them that relates to each other and corresponds with each other. And it's touching. Amen. Uzzah and the woman both touched what seemed to be untouchable. Amen. And that's my thought tonight, is touching the untouchable. Amen. Both of these folks, Uzzah and the anonymous woman from the New Testament, amen, they both touched what seemed to be untouchable. And both in different ways, and both had a very profound effect in both situations. And Samuel, you can look at the story, and it's a very interesting story if you'll read and study it. Amen. And it's something that I've enjoyed studying for this message. Amen. And to get the blessing from that portion of Scripture, you kind of have to study it a little bit. And look at some of the objects and kind of pick it apart. That's probably true of just about anything in the Bible. If you don't put nothing into it, you probably ain't going to get a whole lot out of it. Amen. But in studying, I realize there's some objects and some actions that happened in that story that are very interesting. Amen. And the first object I'd like to talk about is the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. God directed Moses to construct the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. He told him to make it out of wood. And he told him to overlay it on the inside with gold and overlay it on the outside with gold and crown it with gold and put four rings of gold on it. It was a beautiful thing. And then they took that mercy seat and they put cherubims on either side that covered their face and looked toward each other. And it was a solid gold and they put it on top. It was a beautiful thing. Amen. And as they constructed it, they made two staves out of wood and they overlaid them in gold. And that's what they used to carry it. Amen. And the construction of the Ark of the Covenant was a wonderful construction. It wasn't like me and Brother Wesley and Brother Jonathan last night trying to build a shooting house in the dark. Amen. And it about fell on us two or three times. It was a horrible situation. No, they constructed it carefully. And they constructed it beautifully. And it was a holy and a beautiful thing to look at. Yeah. Amen. And then just like the Ark of the Covenant, your salvation is a very beautiful thing. It's a very sacred and a very holy thing. The children of Israel looked at it as a representation of God. And you ought to look at your salvation with the same respect as they did that Ark of the Covenant. Amen. You ought to look at your salvation with keep it sacred. Guard it. Amen. Keep it safe and keep it guarded against the things of the world. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant had a purpose. It went before the children of God. It crossed before them across the River Jordan. It marched before them around the walls of Jericho. And we know what the end of that story was. See, the Ark of the Covenant went before the children of God into battle. It went before them in the wilderness. It guided them everywhere they went. We need to rely on our salvation tonight to carry us through some things, through the wilderness, amen, to carry us through the battle, amen. If you can get your salvation in front of you instead of behind you, you can do something for God, amen. I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost here. Help me, Lord. Amen. And inside that Ark of the Covenant, there was some contents. There were some things that God directed Moses, said, put in there. I want them to be testimonies of myself and my provision. Amen. It was a bowl of manna. That was a signification of the evidence and the evidence of God's provision and his providing power. Amen. And inside that ark, there was also Aaron's budded rod. Amen. It was a signification of God's will and his authority. Amen. And there was also a few tables of stone that Moses placed in there. And that was evidence of God's promises. Amen. Don't you know your salvation is slap full of the promises of God? Amen. It's slap full of evidence of how he's provided in the past and how he's going to provide in the future. Amen. The ark is full of all the promises of God. Amen. It's evidence of things that he's done and everything that he's going to do. Amen. I would that I could preach this thing like God's put it on me. If you give me just a little while, I'll try to get somewhere. You say, Adam, that's a wonderful about the ark. Sound like a beautiful thing. Sound like it's very important to the children of God. But I got one question for you. Why wasn't it in Jerusalem already? Amen. And that's a good question. It's one that I had in studying this. If the Ark of the Covenant was so special to David, why wasn't it already in Jerusalem? See, if you flip back and the children of God was fighting the very enemy of the children of God, they're fighting the very enemy of their souls or of their time. Just like we fight the enemy of our soul. Amen. They got over there and they got in a battle. And there was great slaughter. There was many Israelites died in that battle. Amen. They went up before God and there was sin in the camp. Amen. And we won't go into all that. That's not my message. But he got over there and there was a great defeat. And the enemy of the children of God took the Ark of the Covenant and they took it to their own temple and set it before their own God. And whenever they did, Dagon fell on his face. There's a lot of folks trying to prop up their God against mine, and it keeps falling on their face. There's a lot of false doctrine that won't hold water tonight. Amen. I ain't going to preach that either, but y'all just help me here. There's so many rabbits running everywhere. But, amen. The Ark of God, the devil, and he'll do it to you sometimes, just like the enemy of the children of Israel did. They set it up as evidence and as a memorial, rather, of their defeat over the children of Israel. And children of Israel, for many years, I think it was over 20, if I studied it right, that they went without the Ark of the Covenant. It didn't stay in the enemy's camp, but the enemy set it up. They said, we've got the very representation of the thing that goes before them in battle. We got it. And we're going to set up as a memorial. How many times has the devil set up, amen, in front of you and set up all the defeats and all the things? And hey, I've got your salvation over here. You ain't saved. The devil's a liar. Amen. You ain't got to listen to him. Amen. It's a bad situation when the devil could convince you that he has your salvation. Amen. And that he's got it over there and he'll set it, like I said, up as a memorial and as a place of a reminder to you. There's been many times since I've gotten saved that the devil's brought up where I was when I was a sinner. And there's been a few times, amen, if we're all honest, I know we've all went through them. There's been a few times that I went through a thing or went through a few things and I didn't quite do it right, James. I didn't do God justice. I wasn't a good witness like I should have been. And the devil tried his best to use that as a memorial against me to make me doubt my salvation. Amen. But see, David got to the place where he was tired of not having God's promise. He was tired of not having the representation of God where it rightfully belonged. He was tired of not having the testimony and the victory in Jerusalem. And I feel like that's the place where some of us are tonight. That's where I felt like I was, last week, going through some things. And I just felt like, you know, not that I'd lost my salvation, but that it was a little ways away from me and I couldn't quite get a hold on it. But tonight I'm ready to get it all back. I'm ready to bring it back into the camp. I'm ready for the promises of God to flow. I'm ready for the victory to flow tonight. Amen. David wanted something that was good. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. He wanted to bring back that which belonged in Israel, but he went about it the wrong way. Amen. He went about it not the way God ordered, not in God's holy order. And what he said, how the Ark should be transported, he didn't go by that. Amen. What he wanted to do was good. Amen. But it wasn't God's plan. Amen. He placed it on a new cart. Amen. Help me, God. Oh, help me, God. There's a lot of people. If they ain't careful, they'll let the devil give them a new cart to haul their salvation around on. Amen. And the lazy, lackadaisical Christian will carry around their salvation on a cart of laziness. I ain't got to go to church, but just whenever I feel like it. And if I pay my tithes, I can squeak into heaven. I ain't got to put no effort at work to try and talk to those folks about God. I ain't got to talk to those who I see out in the gas stations and out in the world that are hurting and are wanting a Savior. Amen. They don't want to put anything into their salvation. And I can tell you, I feel like if you're not putting 100% into your salvation, I don't know that you'll be able to last and make it into God's good heaven. On the flip side of that, there's also some Christians who get a new card of overzealousness. Amen. They get out there and their zeal outruns the will of God and the commandments of God, and they become a charismatic. They don't want what God says. They don't want what God commands, but they'll just get on with it and hope that God will bless. Amen. And they'll get into charismaticism. Amen. But the last and final cart that the devil try to get you to haul your salvation around on is a sinning cart. Amen. The doctrine of eternal security is a damnable doctrine, and it will carry your soul straight to hell. Amen. You cannot sin and make it into God's good heaven. You cannot sin. Hey, Brother Earl, I might believe in eternal security because, see, the Savior that I have and the blood that he shed saves me. And I don't plan on sinning against him. I don't plan on turning away from him. Amen. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is strong enough to take me through some things. If there's ever a time we need the promises and the testimony and the victory in our salvation, it's this day and hour. Amen. As David as Uzzah and the cart made its way from Abinadab's house back towards Jerusalem, it hit a rough spot. Amen. And see, all those that are hauling the carts that the devil's give them, and they're hauling salvation around on it, they're going to hit a rough spot sooner or later. And whenever they do, they're going to reach up there and try to steady it with their hand, prop it up, and do the best they can to weather the storm. But just like Uzzah, they're not going to make it. They're going to be found dead next to the cart that the devil's had them hauling their salvation around on. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Help me right here. If you haul your salvation around long enough on the cart that the devil gives you, you will wind up dead next to it. It's inevitable. Amen. If you get out of the will of God and you don't go about salvation just like he wants you to, you will wind up dead and by the roadside. Amen. If you continue on like you are, you might not make it to heaven. That's a sad, sad statement, but it's true. I ain't down on nobody tonight. I ain't preaching. I'm just preaching what the Lord laid on my heart. But I'm tired of seeing folks not make it. I'm tired of seeing folks dead beside their salvation. God will come in here and they'll weep on the altars and they'll pray. And they'll pray through the old time salvation. Seem like 2 weeks later they're slipping out. And they can't quite make it. I'm tired of it. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. Amen. I pray that God would help us to get the victory and the power and the promise in our salvation that he's promised us. Amen. How do you touch the untouchable? Amen. Uzzah didn't do it because he didn't do it God's way. He didn't do it how he was directed. There was a woman over in the book of Mark. Amen. For 12 years, this woman was in disease. Amen. She was hurting. And she was had a sickness in her body for 12 years. And many of you know that have had or know somebody that has had a disease. 12 years is a long time to go with a disease. But see, by Levitical law, her disease wasn't just a disease. By Levitical law, she was unclean. You couldn't sit where she'd sit. You couldn't sleep in a bed she'd slept in. You couldn't touch her. You was unclean. So not only was she diseased, but she was unclean. She was separated, and she was lonely. Oh, the devil would like to separate you from those who love you. He'd like to get you apart, and he'd like to separate you and get you as lonely as you can be. Amen. You might have a need in your body, but there's those here that might have a need in their soul, and the devil's tried to separate them and get them away from God. Amen. It says she suffered many things of many physicians. Amen. Amen. There's some people like Brother Jonathan, so done a good job teaching on Sunday morning. They try their best to help, but they become a hindrance to folks. Amen. Because they get out of the will of God, or they feel like their ideas are the best for somebody. Amen. We need to be careful how we talk to folks and the advice we give them. Amen. I appreciate that good Sunday school lesson. It done me some good. Amen. It says that she suffered many things with many physicians, but rather grew worse. Amen. You can go to a psychologist. You can go to the doctor. Amen. I'm not against going to the doctor. That's not what I'm saying. But you can try your best to fix your mind and have a sober mind and all that. And there's been folks in this church that's testified that the devil's troubled them and troubled their mind, and they didn't know what to do. And this day and hour, there's doctors on every hand giving out prescriptions for depression, amen, and for anxiety and stuff like that, amen. But I'm glad I know the great physician, amen. She got down there, amen, and she was in a bad spot. She was sick in her body, sick in her soul, sick in her mind. She's in a horrible place. But I tell you what, I'm glad to know that in man's extremity, God has an opportunity. Jesus was walking up the road. See, he come by, and he was headed on his way to help another man. He was there to help Jairus, as we know. But as he passed by, she decided she was going to press on through. Amen. If we're going to touch the untouchable, if we're going to get the power and the victory, amen, if we're going to get the joy in this salvation that God's given us, if we're going to cast off that new cart that the devil gave us, and we're going to get a hold of this thing like we need to, we're going to have to do like her. We're going to have a persevering faith. We're going to have a faith that will push through a few things. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus was there. He's passing through. And as she passed through, and as she made her way through the crowd, and as she made her way through, it's amazing to me that none of these people reacted. Amen. If it is true that she was declared unclean, don't you think at least somebody would say, hey, there's that woman, she's unclean, don't touch her, don't touch her. You'll have to be separated. Amen. But it's amazing to me that that whole crowd had their attention on Jesus Christ. They didn't have their attention on how unclean she was. They didn't have their attention on how dirty she was. Hey, whenever we go down to the jail, I try my best not to look at how matted their hair is, how tattooed up they are, and all the scars, amen, that they have on them. I try to look at that hurt that I see in their eyes. Amen. If we could get our attention on Christ when somebody comes in amongst us and quit looking at their uncleanliness, Amen. They could get a little help. They could get a little help right here in the middle of us. Amen. Amen. If we could get this relationship with Christ like we need to have, amen, we might be able to be a help for somebody else. Amen. As she passed through there, she used her persevering faith to touch the hem of his garment and be healed. Amen. And I might need to back up here because I've done run past a bunch of stuff. But one thing I didn't tell you about the ark is they take those staves whenever they placed it in the tabernacle and they push it up against the veil. They push those staves out of, not completely out of the rings, but they push them until they touch the veil. Amen. That separated the holies of holies from the rest of the temple. Amen. And see, that's very significant because she had faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what helped her touch the untouchable. But see, that veil with those staves touching, it's very important too. Because whenever my Savior stretched forth his hands on a cross, blood run down his side and out his head. He hung there with all the guilt. Amen. He suffered sorrow so that we could be happy. He suffered guilt so that we could have freedom from it. And he stretched his hands forth and he looked up to heaven and he said, "It is finished." Amen. "I'm done. I've completed it. The work's done." Amen. Salvation's coming. Amen. And the reason that veil that those staves touch rent from the top to bottom is because God was doing the tearing. Amen. He ripped it open and he looked and he said, "My son's finished it." He hung on the cross. He called it finished. "Now here, I'm going to rip this veil from top to bottom because I'm untouchable now. You can come freely through Jesus Christ and what he did, what he's finished, the work he's finished. You can come freely to me. Come touch me." Amen. That's what God wanted to show. He rent that veil from top to bottom so that you could touch him through Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to get to God, the Father, is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And if you look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly." Amen. "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Amen. This woman was in, we've already talked about how she was hurting in her body. We talked about how she was hurting in her soul. Amen. She was needing a touch from God. She said, "I heard about Jesus, and I'm going to see if I can't get something from him. I'm going to push through all this that they say, you know, I can't get to him. But what seems to be untouchable, I'm going to see if I can touch it." Amen. "And I'm going to have some faith that whenever I do touch it, I can get something out of it." Amen. The devil would like to tell you that you can't get something from God. He'd like to tell you that you can't touch it. He'd like to tell you that it's untouchable, but that's a lie. Amen. As she passed through that crowd and made her way over there, and she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. Amen. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? See, Jesus had already had that well of grace tapped into. He said, "Who touched me?" Amen. He knew that virtue had left him. He knew that somebody had got a touch. I would that somebody here could get a hold of God tonight. Oh, I would that somebody could make Jesus say, "Who touched me? Who drew from the well of grace?" Somebody down there is praying on through. Amen. Somebody's getting a hold of God. Amen. But God, Jesus just wasn't happy with just touching her infirmity. He wanted to touch her soul. Amen. As she sat there, fear and trembling. Amen. Jesus looked into her face with tenderness, with love. Amen. He wanted to hear what she had to say. And as she testified as to how she had received a touch, amen, he said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go thy way." Let's all stand. Amen. He said, "Daughter, as that thy faith has made thee whole, go thy way." Amen. He realized that she had a need in her body, but he also realized that she had a need in her soul. He wanted to address that too. He knew that she had been healed, but he also knew that she needed a healing in her soul and in her heart. Amen. That's why he looked at her in her eyes. He wanted a conversation with her. He wanted a personal conversation with that woman. And that's exactly what he wants with you tonight. He can heal your infirmities. I believe it. I believe it right down to my bones. He can heal you, Daddy Jonathan. I believe it. I mean, Daniel, I believe it. But He can heal you and your infirmities, but he does want to heal your soul. He desires a conversation with you. He desires to talk to your heart and your soul. He desires for you to touch the untouchable and come before God with whatever it is that you need help for tonight. He desires you to come right on in there through Jesus Christ in faith in what he done at Calvary, receive help. Let's all come around and pray.